Church Disciples of Christ Monday Manna Bible Study. We are here and we are waiting for you to tune on in. So come on in. We're going to start a new study on tonight.
That's right. And we're excited about what God is going to do. We're going to jump into the book of Numbers tonight. We're going to give you a brief introduction and cover some of what's happening in that first chapter. So let us know that you're getting a clear signal as we prepare for tonight's study, the book of Numbers, and we're excited about it. And so we praise God for this day that he's created, and we realize that he has included us in his plan for this day. And so that gives us a right, a reason, and a responsibility to rejoice and be glad in it. And so we're excited about what has already happened, but we know that something else is going to take place today, because we're going to gather ourselves around the word of God. And we're clear and confident in the fact that when we hear this word, something ignites in our spirit and our faith begins to rise like yeast. Amen. Wouldn't you agree with me, Lady
Absolutely.
Kim? The Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So let us know you're getting a clear signal. We got a lot of ground we're going to cover tonight. Lady Kim has been preparing, and she's ready to really present this challenge to us and break it down and make it plain and make it live and walk on the night as we prepare for this study. That hurt. Don't be doing that. We live. Now, those people who are on, you saw how it's squinched and quenched and all of that is, what is it? Squinched?
I don't know.
That hurt. So...
Well, that's because...
Let us know you're getting a clear signal tonight. Lady Kim is ready to go.
Not doing
what I'm supposed to be doing.
You're supposed to be leading the Bible study.
No. Look at your notes, and it says the doctor's Murray's will lead this study. So
it's not me, right?
No, I said you're going to be leading us through this part of the study tonight. So we won't get into all of that. And see, keep your hand up here. There you go. All right. All right. Let's have a prayer. Somebody let us know you're getting a clear signal and that the sound is coming in, that you can hear us. And we praise God for each of you tonight. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we're extremely grateful for this day, and we thank you for our lives. We bless you and we honor you, and we yet give you praise. And we're certainly excited about what yet lies in store as we have gathered for this Monday Manna Bible study. We ask now, dear Lord, that you would just open our eyes that we might see, our spiritual eyes that we might see, open our spiritual ears that we might hear. And we ask now that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our redeemer. So we love you and we honor you, and we thank you now for being our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For those of you just tuning in, we're going to be in the book of Numbers. We're going to give an introduction, and we're going to highlight some of the things that's happening in this first chapter. Is that right, Lady Kim?
That's correct.
Okay, but before we get there, another exciting week, another exciting weekend. On yesterday, we had another wonderful service. And we praise God. We had a leadership retreat on Saturday, and we just had a full weekend. And that seems always be the case around ATOP. We're going to have something going on. We get a break every now and then. But this past weekend was an excellent weekend in terms of information and preparation, as well as hearing the word on Sunday.
Amen. That's correct.
Tell us a little bit about what you heard in terms of, you want to start with the leadership retreat, or you want to go right to the worship service?
Well,
because we had our outreach after service as well.
The leadership retreat was awesome. We had a great time, and just breaking away to make sure our leaders understand how we get things done at Anointed Temple of Praise, you know, and allow them to ask questions as a group and have their questions answered.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just thank God for the opportunity to have fun together, to break bread together, and to learn a little bit more about how we get things done at ATOP. And then on yesterday, we had an awesome service. I'll skip to after service. We went on our outreach ministry, went Meals from the Heart. We went out to feed those food insecure individuals. And as always, it was a magnificent time in the Lord. But yesterday during service,
Let me back up before you go to service, if you don't mind. Mm-hmm. Is that all right? Because I think yesterday during our outreach, it probably was one of the first times that I can remember that we actually ran out of food. Mm-hmm. You remember? And we had a line of people that wanted to be serviced, but we didn't have enough to provide for them. And that really was, you know, I know we couldn't do anything about it, but just to see the people in need like that, and you know, they have a lot of different bags when they're walking around, but some people are storing up because they don't know where their next meal is going to come from. But they are so familiar with that bus when it pulls up, till they are regulars and they know that something good is going to happen. But it just felt a little awkward when we didn't get a chance to supply everyone. Normally, we have more than enough, but we had probably the same amount that we normally do, but we just ran out. Mm-hmm. And hats off to our outreach team that works hard in the kitchen. We had them come out before service on yesterday. Well, not before service, but during the worship experience, just to recognize them for their effort. They load and they pack and they box up all of the meals and make sure everything is in place. And so just certainly grateful for that. Amen. And then for Saturday, just want to say how much we appreciate our pastoral team. Dr. Butler and Dr. Qualise did an excellent job, as well as First Lady and Dr. Kim Murray. Outstanding presentation. We talked about an array of things, just trying to help people understand process, protocol, and getting questions answered, and how to get things done around ATOP. And so I thought it was a very helpful workshop, and it's kind of given them an opportunity before they go into the end of the year in terms of preparation for preparing their, we changed one of our names Saturday, that was very familiar name, and we called it something else. You remember what that was?
Yeah, the year-end reports and forecasts.
And forecasts.
Financial forecasts instead of budget.
Okay, financial forecasting. And so they're excited about that, and we hope that that was beneficial. We're going to have a probably not so much a part two, but a continuation, when you agree, on this particular workshop that we had, and that would take place in the month of October.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
The first Saturday in October.
Yes.
Okay. So I just wanted to throw that in before you went to the worship experience.
Mm-hmm. And before I go to the worship experience, I want to say, Minister Loretta, how was school today?
Minister Loretta, first day.
First day of school.
Seminary. I know, right?
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
I'm so proud of you.
I know, right?
So proud.
Great.
Learn a lot of new things.
That's right.
Today.
That's
I'm
right.
Sure you were excited.
She was on tiptoe.
Yes.
We know that feeling, but
yes.
It's going to go by so fast, and you're going to gather so much information. And it's going to open your mind to a lot of the questions that you had. But, you know, the good thing about it, Minister Loretta, is that you already grounded. Mm-hmm. Some people go in and they have no idea of what to expect, what to anticipate, have no spiritual grounding. But you're grounded, and you know who you are, and you're going to do great things. And we know that you're going to just rise to the top of your class. And that they're going to know who Minister Loretta Perkins is, if they don't already, before this week is out. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
All right.
She said it was great. I'm so glad. I used to think I knew so much about the Bible until I went to seminary, and mm-hmm. I felt like, I don't know nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know now. For me, it was just, I had read the Bible, but now, you know, in seminary, you really learn. So congratulations to you, and we look forward to hearing you hearing what you have learned and having you to step up.
That's right.
In a special way.
Let's give Loretta some thumbs up there and some congratulations. And you know, you got a major support cast that's pulling you and holding you and encouraging you as you prepare this journey. Many of us have been there. And Lady Kim, it was the last victim, but we have some more casualties along the way that will perhaps help you along this journey. And we're excited, Minister Loretta, that you are taking this leap of faith.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
All right. Go ahead and tell us a little bit about yesterday.
Yesterday was a part two of your sermon from the following Sunday, because of your sacrifice, coming from Psalms.
You have to say because of your sacrifice with a little bit more umph now. You know, you can't just say because of your sacrifice and keep going to the next sentence.
Show
me how to say it. No, you practice and I'll let you know if you got it.
Well, you say it so I know how to say it.
You practice it and I'll let you know when you got it.
Y'all see what I have to go through? All right, because of your sacrifice.
That's it. That's what I'm talking about. Come on, give God some praise.
Because of your sacrifice. That's all right, it. Psalms, the 50th chapter, verses 5 through 7, and then dropping down verses 14 and 15. And those verses say,
No, you didn't.
I did flip off of it. And those verses say, call my followers together. They offered me a sacrifice and we made an agreement. Mm-hmm. The heavens announced God is the judge and he is always honest. My people, I am God. Israel, I am your God. Listen to my charges against you.
Right.
And then down to verses 14 through 15, I am God Most High. The only sacrifice I want is for you to be thankful and to keep your word.
Mm-hmm.
Pray to me in time of trouble. I will rescue you and you will honor me.
Wow.
Yes, God wants us to keep our word, our word towards him. Mm-hmm. We live, you had some points that we live in covenant with God.
That's right.
And you talked about what a covenant was, that relationship with God. You know, we're called to do church, but also called to be the church.
That's
and
it.
I preached about that a few Sundays ago. A time of sacrifice is when we need to go to another level because great things are in store for us.
Mm-hmm.
A covenant is an agreement. You talked about that agreement. A covenant is an agreement, a covenant. We have a covenant relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
And so God honors his covenant with us. And we need to honor our covenants with God.
Okay. And so when you talk about covenant, we're talking about a spiritual commitment to the things of God and honoring God. And I said yesterday, I don't know if you're going to get to this in a minute, that many times we want to ask God for a lot of things, but we fail to realize that God expects something from us as a result of the relationship that we're in. And there's something illogical about an allegiance of non-reciprocal relationships. Would you agree with me on that?
Yeah, can you break that down?
Yes, because a lot of times people get caught up and get in all they can from somebody and not willing to express appreciation or gratitude for what that person has done for them. And I think as you see in that the 14th and the 15th verses, God says, really, what I want from you, the only sacrifice that is really key for me is that you be thankful.
Mm-hmm.
And that you do what I've asked you to do. How does it go?
Mm-hmm.
That you keep my word.
Your word.
And so that's what God wants. And when God sees our hearts and how we are bent toward trying to be obedient to his word, then we are in a real sense offering our sacrifice to him by yielding from the things of God, not yielding to the things of the world, but yielding ourselves toward the things of God.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, and I think you did mention it in your sermon that God has made promises to us.
That's right.
But in order for his promises to be fulfilled, we have to keep our promise to him.
That's right.
You know, I can't think of the scripture.
Ask and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. Give and it shall be given unto you.
Give. So
knock and the door shall be opened.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. So there's something that we have to do first.
Right, right.
Before God will do his part.
Right.
We have to give and then it shall be given unto us.
Right, right.
We have to knock.
Right.
Then the door will be opened.
That's it.
So
we have to ask.
Ask, and then we will receive.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And so I think many times we get caught up in just going through what I described as the motions and end up missing the master, because we are caught up in trying to always receive from God, and we think it strange that when it comes time to make a sacrifice that we are nowhere to be found. Mm. You know, and it's not always in terms of our monetary sacrifices, but God wants us to render our time, our service, our commitment, our loyalty, our gifts, our talents. You know, and you mentioned that in, even in doing the offering time, how important it is for us to be good stewards. We talked about that last week, in yielding of everything that God has given us so that we might be a blessing. We are blessed to be a blessing. We are saved to do some saving, and we're loved by God that we might love somebody else. So we're not to keep it to ourselves.
Right.
We are to share it. And I'm a living witness, and you are too. And I think you shared your testimony a little bit on Saturday about giving. But the more you give to God, the more he'll give to you.
That's the truth.
You can't be God's giving, no matter how hard you try. If you sow right, then God will do right.
Amen.
All right, I said a lot right there. I said a mouthful now. If you sow right, God, you'll be all right. I said something else a little different right there, but I felt something right there. Because, you know, as you sow, you make it so.
Amen.
All right, y'all
if
gonna
you
catch
sow
that.
Right, it's gonna be so
it's,
right.
It's gonna be so right. You'll get that on the way home if you're driving, because, you know, God wants us to be good stewards, and he wants us to yield ourselves and give back to him and seed into the kingdom. Is Dr. Tosco saying something there?
Yes, he said, it's not Lord, my name is Jimmy, now gimme, gimme, gimme.
Right, 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 right. So we have to be mindful of our responsibility and in the covenant relationship with God, that it's not a one-sided relationship where we're always expecting to receive, but God is expecting us to be good stewards of what he's blessed us with.
Amen, amen. And they're just repeating what you said, what we said.
If we sow right, God will do right. That's
yes,
it.
Yes, he will.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? God is going to do right on our behalf every time.
Every time.
He'll never fail us.
He'll never fail.
But it's left up to us.
That's right.
To be a living sacrifice.
That's right. And it's because of your sacrifice that you're blessed. It's because of your sacrifice that you are anointed. It's because of your sacrifice that God is yet sustaining you. And many times people get it confused in terms of them thinking that it's a number of other things that is really keeping them afloat. But no, know this, and I said it yesterday. Sometimes we make tremendous sacrifices, and they go unnoticed by men.
Mm-hmm.
But know that your sacrifice
does
not go unnoticed by God.
That's right.
So make sure now that when you do what God is requiring of you to do, that you don't look for the applause of men.
That's right.
But you honor God, and God's going to show up in the time that you need him.
Yes, he will.
And he'll sustain you in those times when you think that you don't know how things are going to work out.
That's right.
And look at you right now. You're clothed in your right mind. You're blessed. You made it all the way to 6:20 Central Standard Time, and it's 4:20 in Los Angeles. And God is still keeping you. And I just believe that you've got enough faith in him to believe that even when you lay your head on the pillow tonight, that he's going to wake you up right early tomorrow morning.
Yes, yes, God.
Somebody ought to say amen. I'm preaching a little bit better than y'all saying amen right through there.
So, you know, sacrifices occur because we go over and beyond our resources.
That's right. That's
and
right.
And our witness must be pleasing in God's sight.
That's right.
So God desires for us to do something for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every time we're going to do something for ourselves.
Right.
You know, we're going to have our me time. We're going to do things for our families. We're going to make sure our family is taken care of. But what have you done for God lately? What sacrifices have you made for the kingdom? We went out on yesterday to Meals from the Heart, to, like you said, to feed food insecure individuals, and we ran out of food. Breaks my heart that people were coming to the bus.
And we didn't have
And we didn't have any food left. But, you know, what have you done for God lately? Our bus, what's this, August? In July, the bus was full. We even had cars trailing on in July.
We couldn't even get on the bus in July.
We couldn't get on the bus. There were no more seats left. In August, we had plenty of seats.
But we did have a couple of cars trailing too, right?
We did.
That decided wanted to drive.
We did. Mm-hmm. But even if they had gotten on the bus,
there still would have been extra seats.
Every time we go out, the bus should be packed.
That's right.
With people making that sacrifice to help God's
people.
It's a sacrifice. We had been to church. I know we did new members class at 8:30 Sunday morning. I was at church about 10 after 8 on Sunday. And we didn't get home till, 4 o'clock yesterday? It was a sacrifice. But you know what? And I think we talked about it at some point Saturday, that we used to go to church back in the day and stay all day and all night.
That's right.
You know, we used to go early in the morning and not come home till late at night because we always had evening services and things like that. And so that was a sacrifice, but our foreparents knew what that sacrifice meant. And nowadays, don't ask us to stay for two hours for service.
We don't want to stay. We don't want to sacrifice. We don't want to help. We don't want to go over and above. But praise God for the handful that's catching it.
Amen.
And I think the more we talk about it and the more we encourage, the more we teach it, somebody catches the vision. And a lot of times it's not always in what you I'm trying to tie this in with that. Being taught or caught, you know, sometimes some lessons are not always taught, but they're caught.
Right.
And so God will place you in a position where you'll catch something and you'll catch this whole thing about making a sacrifice, and you understand that it's because of your sacrifice that God is blessing you, and He's continuing to supply your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus.
Amen. Amen. And God is faithful. He's faithful and He's just and He's righteous. If we just make a sacrifice, I know we were talking about giving a few minutes ago, you know, but you can't receive with your hand closed.
My.
You can't receive by being stingy.
Slow down. You're preaching hard.
You have to open your hand and allow God, amen.
Hey, bye-bye. Hey, glory God.
You have
God.
To open your hand in order to receive.
Pull your hand back a little bit because you was too close. There you go.
Open your hand to receive from God.
I can't see that. That rain kind of blinded me. I can't hardly see. Gosh. Go ahead, though. But we understand what you're saying.
I used this hand.
All right. Okay. All right.
All right.
All right.
So anyway, see, he threw me off. I forgot what I was talking about. Let's go back to the
Your niece, Cardi. She said, yes, I
givers think. Are blessed people, and blessed people are always givers.
That's right.
Now,
I did hear you say that yesterday. That's right.
That's what I was getting to.
Okay.
And we have to learn how to give by opening our hearts, opening our hands, opening up to what God has given us to share with other people.
That's
the only way we get is
if we
give. So givers... givers are blessed people, and blessed people are always givers.
That's
blessings don't come without a sacrifice.
That's right.
You gotta make a sacrifice. So I remember that song, "We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord." Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We bring the sacrifice of meals from the heart.
That's
we
right.
bring the sacrifice of our tithes and our offerings. We bring the sacrifice of our willingness to serve others. We bring the sacrifice, our bodies as a living sacrifice.
That's right. That's it. That's it. All right. Well, you have some more.
Oh, this
you
ain't
share?
The Bible
no,
study.
No, we hadn't gotten in the Bible oh study God. Yet. I was trying to, but you were on the roll like Johnny said. And so this is good, though. But we praise God for just that. And that 50th Psalm many times is one that a lot of times people don't read it. It's kind of overlooked.
Right.
But God says, this is the sacrifice that pleases me and what I want you to do. I want you to be thankful.
Thankful.
And then I want you to honor me by doing what my word tells you to do.
Amen.
Obedience brings the reward. And when God sees your heart and he knows that you're thankful and appreciative for what he's already done for you, not for what you're trying to ask him to do, but I think a lot of times breakthrough and blessings happen when we thank God for what he's already done.
Amen.
Yeah.
And when we're thankful and faithful, then we're pleasing God.
That's it. That's it. Mm-hmm. All right. So that was a great time yesterday. And we praise God. We baptized two young ladies and a great service. And so the Lord is continuing to add to the kingdom such as should be saved. And we're excited about what's happening. Had how many in new members? 14 in new members class.
14 in new members
and
class.
And so we're excited about what God is doing in the local body of Christ called ATOP and the church there, and using us to be leaders and for those that he surrounded us with in terms of fulfilling the vision and the mission. It even on the trip yesterday when we were out, we had the cards. Lady Kim, you want to just mention that right quick since I see one over there. We had the cards where people were engaging the people as we gave them meals. It's called the ABCs of Salvation, and it really came as a result of the sermon that Lady Kim was preaching. I don't know if you can see that. It's probably turned backwards. But it's got all of the steps on here that's necessary in order for you to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. Then we have vital information on the back. Dr. Qualish, you did an excellent job in making this happen. And it's very lightweight. It's easy to get to and share. And so they were passing them out and they were talking to people on the trip on yesterday. And so we praise God for that.
Amen.
That's right. All right. Well, we're in the book of Numbers.
Numbers. I made a mistake yesterday.
And said Deuteronomy.
We were starting in Deuteronomy.
Yeah, right.
I skipped right over Numbers.
That's
because
right.
we just came out of Leviticus.
Absolutely.
But it is the book of Numbers. So if you started in Deuteronomy, guess what? It's okay because we don't
right.
get to Deuteronomy.
That's
but
right.
not right now.
Not right now.
So we're going to start in the book of Numbers.
Okay. So we're going to just do a brief introduction of the book of Numbers and then just talk about some of the keys that we will find here in this first chapter. But we know that the book of Numbers is part of the Pentateuch, mm-hmm. or the Pentateuch, some called it, and the first five books of the Bible.
Yeah, teach us.
Isn't that right?
Yeah, that's it.
Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And so those are the books of law. Isn't that right?
Yes.
And many have said that who's the author of these?
Moses.
Is
the
that's
author
right.
Of
and so when we read in the first five books of the Bible, we will see a tremendous influence in terms of the children of Israel and how they were getting ready to enter into the promised land.
That's right.
And how these books of the law were critical in terms of helping them on this pilgrimage and understanding what God required of them and what God would have for them before they entered into the promised land. So this book really serves as a foundational instruction or information, if you will, foundational in terms of the journey and highlight some of the themes of preparing them for the battles that they were going to experience. And so I think that's so critical, because many times we go into situations when we are fighting spiritual battles and we're not prepared because we have not digested the spiritual things of God. And it many times hinders us from being victorious. And we're wondering why we continue to fall back when it seems like the enemy is trying to take more territory. Mm-hmm. But we have to be inwardly prepared, and we have to be spiritually prepared for what God yet has in store for us, because a battle is coming, a war is raging, and we have to make sure that we don't get caught up in the things of the world. That's back to that verse in Romans, by being not conformed to the things of this world, but being transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah tonight.
Amen. Hey, now something about the book of Numbers that varies from the book of Leviticus. We left the book of Leviticus. And the book of Leviticus, the whole book, took place in about a month's time.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the book of Numbers spans over 40 years.
Wow.
And so, you know, whereas Leviticus gives us a snapshot into time, Numbers gives us the more of the longevity.
Okay.
Of
that's
what
good.
Happens.
That's good.
And so there are some key characters or key players in the book of Numbers. Of course, the Israelites, you know, the Hebrew people who have left captivity, left bondage. Remember, they've crossed over the Red Sea, gotten over to the other side, and they're wandering in the wilderness. And the Israelites, of course, are the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God has granted them freedom after their several hundred years of slavery in Egypt. And in the book of Numbers, they're traveling through the wilderness to their promised land, to Canaan, that God had promised them. And then there was Moses, and Moses is selected by God to lead the Israelites to Canaan. And God speaks directly to Moses, and Moses communicated God's word directly to the people. And so then lastly, the main character in the book of Numbers is Aaron, Moses' brother. And he was a Levite and a high priest over the nation of Israel. And we're going to talk about the Levites. And remember, the Levites were the priestly tribe.
That's right.
And I think we talked about in another Bible study that all priests came out of the tribe of Levi, but not every Levite was a priest.
Right.
So you could be in the tribe of the Levites, but not be a priest.
That's right. That's
but
right.
You could not be in another tribe, Dan or Gad or Asher. You couldn't be in another tribe and be a priest.
Right.
You had to come from the lineage of the Levites.
We're going to see something very interesting, and I don't know if you have that on your notes or not, Lady Kim, when they did the census. That's going to be a part of this chapter.
Absolutely.
There was some exclusion there in terms of the Levites.
Right.
And part of it had to do with what you're talking about now. And the Levite tribe was a specific, it was intentional, directed by God, so that those who would take on the responsibility of managing and being stewards over the house, that was the tribe that they would come from.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
And so, you know, these first few verses, and we're just doing a brief summary of first chapter of Numbers, that the first verse of Numbers tells us that these events began on the second month in the second year after Israel left Egypt, which would place that date at approximately 1490 to 1489 BC. And remember, when we talk about BC, we count backwards.
Okay.
And I like to say BC, count backwards is, you know, BC, you know, backwards counted. So,
okay.
Yeah, the years go backwards.
They taught you that over there at the seminary school?
That's just how I remembered it.
That's good. That's good. Say that again so somebody might need to get that in their spirit.
That when we're talking about dates in B.C., you count backwards.
Okay.
So instead of when you say 1490 through 1489, you go backwards.
Okay.
So the events began in the second month of the second year that Israel left Egypt. So 1490 to 1489. So see you going back.
Okay.
All right. And the entire book of Leviticus, and I talked about this before, covers only about 1 month's time, whereas Numbers covers almost 40 years.
So Reverend, this is very good, because I think part of what happens is that the census is established, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're counting the people, the Israelite community, but God is really emphasizing his divine order in terms of organization and how he getting everything in order. We know that God is a God of order, and so this is an intentional strategic plan that God sets in motion in terms of how he wants to get things done.
Amen.
Go ahead.
And then we talk about where they were.
Okay.
You know, and according to Leviticus, you know, that we talked about the last book that we studied, and Numbers, we'll see it in the third chapter, in the first verse, the Israelites are camped in the wilderness of Sinai, near Mount Sinai. And so we're going to see that. So we're just kind of giving you a perspective. I wish I could put a map up on the screen. But they're in Sinai, yes, geographically where they were located.
Do you have a copy of it there, of the map? Is that it?
No, it won't work. No.
Okay. So part of what we see in addition to that, Lady Kim, is the naming of the various tribes. We're going to see that come out here too. Is that correct?
Yes.
And I think this whole first chapter really sets the tone for us understanding the order in which God is laying out and how God is calling forth for this census in order to fight the Israelites. And then he goes down the list and separates and makes sure that everyone is in the proper tribe according to his desire, and giving them preparation for the battle that's yet ahead.
Yes, and I like that about God, how God has them. God is an organized
Absolutely.
God. That's one thing
strategic.
I like about
yeah.
this. Yes,
yeah.
He's strategic, he's organized. He tells them to... In chapter 1, verses 1 through 46, you know, he tells Moses to tell each tribe, you know, he tells them to get ahead. He names that person. Can we look at that for a moment?
Yes. Which one you going, which verse you going to?
We're going to verse number, verse number 2.
Oh,
and I'm in the New Living
chapter.
Translation. Okay. Numbers, the first chapter, verse 2, from the whole community of Israel, record the names of all the warriors by their clans and families. List all the men 20 years old or older who are able to go to war. You and Aaron must register the troops, and you will be assisted by one family leader from each tribe.
Okay.
And then God begins to name the tribes and the leader of each tribe, and he goes through, and can I just name the tribe
Absolutely.
And the number.
You
okay.
seem like you're gonna do that anyway. I don't know why you was asking, but go ahead.
So this census was specific to those 20 men, 20 years or older, who were able to fight. So everybody can't go.
That's right.
You know, if you're not able to fight, you can't go.
That's right.
If you're under 20, you cannot go.
Right.
So all those over 20. So here's how it totaled out. The tribe of Reuben, 46,500. That was 20 years.
Major.
Males, yes. Simeon. 53,300. Gad, 45,650. Judah, 74,600. That was the largest tribe. We know that Judah means what?
Praise.
Issachar, 54,400 people. Zebulun, 57,400 men. Ephraim, 40,500 men. Manasseh, 32,200 men. Benjamin, 35,400 men. Dan, 62,700 men. Asher, 71,500 men. Naphtali, 53,400 men. For a total number of fighting men in Israel, 603,550.
Wow.
Now, that's
something interesting there, though, too, right?
Yeah, that's a great half a million people. Half a million men.
That they numbered. And they counted. And divided them up among 11 tribes.
11 tribes, that's right. Because in verse number 47, I believe it talks about the exclusion of one tribe. And you talked about that earlier.
Right. And so we'll see that the Levites had specific instructions and direction. And they were not warriors, but they were representatives of the temple. And they had temple responsibility. And that's where your priests were in that tribe of Levi. But as Lady Kim indicated, not every Levite was a priest.
Right. Isn't but they had a responsibility.
They had a major responsibility.
Yes. Can I read the 47 through 54? So when we jump down to 47 in Numbers, the first chapter, it says, but this total did not include the Levites. And we talked about that earlier. For the Lord said to Moses, do not include the tribe of Levi in the registration. Do not count them with the rest of the Israelites. Put the Levites in charge of the tabernacle of the covenant, along with all its furnishings and equipment. They must carry the tabernacle and all its furnishings as you travel, and they must take care of it and camp about it. Whenever it is time for the tabernacle to move, the Levites will take it down, and when it is time to stop, they will set it up again. But any unauthorized person who goes too near the tabernacle must be put to death. Each tribe of Israel will camp in a designated area with its own family banner. But the Levites will camp about the tabernacle of the covenant to protect the community Israel from the Lord's anger.
Wow.
The Levites are responsible to stand guard around the tabernacle. So the Israelites did everything just as the Lord had commanded Moses.
That's powerful, isn't it?
Yes.
So they had major responsibility, and it was probably you can't do a comparison, but it was just as important as the other 11 tribes in terms of them being the warriors. Here we see the protectors of the temple and the ones who would carry the temple ahead of them, and also protect it against alien forces and against the attack of God.
Amen.
And so that's powerful.
Yes. So the Levites' primary responsibility was to take care of God's holy tent.
That's it.
Or holy temple as they traveled from place to place. They were responsible for transporting, you know, picking it up, packing up everything, making sure it was right and tight as they traveled. And when they got to the next destination, they were to unpack everything, set up everything, and make sure God's house was in order.
Absolutely. And they had to do it according to what God had instructed.
Absolutely.
And what you said at the end about God being a God of order, that still carries over even today. When we follow God's plan and we operate in the mandates of God, then we know that God is pleased with that. But many times people lose sight of what God really wants, and they start doing things what they want.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes to trouble every time.
But
when we follow God's plan and we are obedient to the things of God, then it brings glory to God. Just as we talked about in Psalm 50, how God says the sacrifice that he really wants is one of thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And for you keeping and doing my word.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
And God bless the nation of Israel, the Israelites, just as he promised Abraham. You know, he told Abraham that your seed will be, you know, like the sands on the seashore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we see that the Israelite family has been blessed. You know, God told him that he would make Israel into a large nation.
Right.
And here we see it here with the counting of just those men 20 years old and above is more than a half a million. And so if we add the women and children to that, we can get well over a million.
Almost
people.
2 million.
Yeah, probably more than that.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. If you
with
count
the women and children.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because most of the time people had more than one child.
That's right.
So, yes, it's unbelievable. All right.
Well, for those of you who are playing catch up or trying to figure it out, we're in Numbers, and we're doing just a highlight, recap, overview of the first chapter. This is going to be the start of our study into Numbers, and we're going to move through that perhaps throughout the remainder of this year and maybe over into the start of next year, because it really sets the tone for what God requires of the children of Israel and preparing them for what's going to happen once they enter into the promised land.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of the tribes have been named, all of the men have been numbered and that were able to go into battle. And they all have leaders from each of the tribes that hold responsibility for that particular tribe. And then the Levites had a major assignment in terms of their order for making sure that the temple and all of the things of the temple were in place.
Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And then we see, you know, when we were talking about Abraham, how God's promises were fulfilled in Abraham's life. And so how can we make this book of Numbers applicable to us? Well, we need to look back over our lives,
mm-hmm,
to see how many times God has kept his promises in our lives.
That's it.
You know, and let that help us to move with confidence forward
into
the future.
That's right.
Knowing that God has blessed us in the past, and he'll
do it again.
Do it again.
That's right.
And that song comes to mind, if he did it before, he can do it again.
Well, we're going to start wrapping this up for tonight. We just want to give you an overview, and we'll probably go back and pick up a few pointers from tonight as we move into the second chapter of Numbers on next week. We're certainly grateful for each of you who have come on board to be a part of this study tonight. And we're going to be in the book of Numbers next week. We're going to be in the second chapter, if you want to go ahead and read ahead. And we won't read all of the verses, but we'll give you a snapshot of what's happening and then give you explanation in terms of some of the things that are key in the particular chapters that we'll be studying. But this is a foundational chapter for Numbers. It's the one of the books of the law, and it's critical in terms of the instructions that God has given. And then it also creates, I think, for us, atmosphere of faith and trust in God.
Amen.
Because just like you finished saying, Lady Kim, if he did it back then, he'll do it again. And so God is not like man that he should lie, but he's faithful and he will do exactly what he said he would do.
Yes.
His promises are sure,
yes,
and his satisfaction is guaranteed. You can always count on God. And so we're encouraged tonight by this study, and we praise God for we understand that our obedience brings the reward. Amen. Would you agree with me
yes,
on that?
Yes, it does.
And we're blessed because of our sacrifice.
Because of our sacrifice.
And I tell you to just go back and reflect over the sacrifices that you made for God. Mm-hmm. And how important that was in terms of what God was able to do for you, because he saw your heart and he was understanding that you were making the kind of commitment that pleases him. And we were talking in the 50th chapter of Psalm, the 50th division of Psalm, about how important that is to God. God wants us to be thankful. He says, when you honor me with your thankfulness, he said, look, I'm going to rescue you. I'm going to hear your prayers. I'm going to do what you're requesting. I'm going to make a way for you. And so many times when we think that we don't know how we're going to make it out of a situation, listen to me tonight. It was God who was carrying you
yes.
in the midst of that situation.
Yes.
And it was because of your sacrifice.
Because of our sacrifice.
My.
Hallelujah.
All right. Yeah. Well, we're going to go ahead and prepare to close out. If there are any prayer requests, thank each of you for being on tonight. If you have any prayer requests, go ahead and mention those. We want to lift those up. Lady Kim has some others that she's going to share with us tonight. But we do believe in the power of prayer, and we know that the effectual fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much. We're certainly grateful for all of those who continue to support the work of ATOP. Would you agree with me on that?
Yes, Lord.
And how our outreach is growing and how the membership is increasing. And I just believe that's because of our sacrifice. I believe it's because of our obedience. The leadership is lining up, and we're getting ready to do great things. And God is not through with us yet. Here we are celebrating 24 years, getting ready to go into the 25th year of existence. And it was nobody but God.
Nobody but
Somebody
God.
Somebody type, nobody but God.
Nobody but
and
God.
And so we praise God from whom all blessings flow.
Amen. And then we want to challenge those who are watching. We are in the midst of a capital campaign, capital improvement campaign.
Mm-hmm.
We have improvements that we need to do in our church, and one is our digital sign out front. Sunday, I said the sign was completely out, but you know they did some tinkering around with it and got the sign to come back on. But you know, we talked about the pixels being mm-hmm. out. If you're driving south on Riverdale, the sign is perfect. If you're driving north on Riverdale, many of the pixels on that panel are out, so the picture is not there, and they no longer make the parts for that particular sign. So we have to get a whole new sign, and it is very expensive. And then the next low-hanging fruit that we wanted to take care of is our women's restroom is in dire need of repair. We need to make it ADA accessible. That's for people with disabilities. The women cannot get in the restroom in a wheelchair. It's not wheelchair accessible. And so that has been one of the things that we really do need to have corrected.
Yes.
Because we have many people as our congregation ages, and
that's
as
right.
we have people who have had medical situations to occur, we have several in our congregation who are wheelchair bound or, mm-hmm. or motor scooter bound. And guess what? It's preventing people who want to come to ATOP because we don't have the adequate restroom facility. So we need to get our restroom renovated. The women's restroom, the men's restroom is pretty accessible from what I understand.
Right, it is.
I ain't never been in there before, but
yeah.
but we have to get that women's restroom done. So please, ma'am, please, sir, make a significant contribution to our capital improvements project if you can. Whatever you can do, It might be $10. It might be $100. It might be $1,000. It might be $10,000. Whatever you can do, please, we ask for your assistance.
And you don't have to give it all at one time.
You don't have to give it all at one time. That's right. This is campaign is running all the way through the end of November, the last Sunday of November. So please, ma'am, please, sir, contribute whatever you can.
It might be $1,000. It might be
I'm sorry. Peace.
So if you can, whatever you can give, you can go to our Facebook page. Not our Facebook page, our
website.
You can give through the website, PayPal. You can mail it in, 3939 Riverdale Road, Memphis, Tennessee, 38115. You can do our Cash App. So whatever way you can give, we would certainly appreciate it. But don't forget to put in the notes line that you are giving to the Capital Improvements Campaign.
This is over and above your regular tithes and offerings, isn't that right?
Yes. Yes.
Can somebody put that information in as we prepare together for prayer? Dr. Qualis, if you have the giving
link,
will you put that on in the comment box for us? But we thank you for each of you for being a part. Will you lift up those requests that you do have, Lady Kim? And then if there are others, we want you to go ahead and list them now as we prepare to close out with prayer.
Okay, so if you have any prayer requests, put them in the chat now. We want to lift up the family of Brother George Shoulders in the loss of his sister, Elizabeth Shoulders. That service will be held on September the 1st in Hermanville, Mississippi. And then if lift up Sister Dorothea Robertson in the loss of her grandmother, Lily Davis. I do not have the service as of yet, but I will check with her following this Bible study. And also lift up Sister Theron C. and Brother Nora C. in the loss of Sister Theron's father, James Robinson. I see Sister Theron has put the link for giving there, and she's here on Bible study. Sister Theron, we are praying for
Absolutely.
You and your family. Also lift up all of our sick and shut-in in your prayers. It was so good to see Sister Buchanan, Elnora Buchanan, at church on Sunday. She has to wait for her family to bring her because she's had some health challenges. But it was so good to see her on yesterday. And so we thank God for all of those who have committed to come out to ATOP. And especially when they're recovering. And let us please lift up all those in our prayers who are sick and shut in or who are bereaved at this time.
Okay. Will you go ahead and close us then with a word of prayer, Lady Kim?
Yes. Lord, we thank you tonight. We bless you and we honor you, for you alone are worthy of all of our praise. God, we know that there's some people who are on the Bible study tonight or just may stumble on this Bible study tonight, God, that need your help. God, they need you because they're confused about what tomorrow may bring. But God, I'm here to remind them tonight that even though we don't know what the future holds, we know that you hold our future. And because you hold our future, God, everything is going to be all right.
Thank you, Lord.
Because we are reminded of the past and what you've done in the past and how you brought us through in the past. You can bring us out again. If you did it before, you can do it again.
Hallelujah.
So we thank you, God, that you're making our pathway clear right now. You're clearing the way just like a bulldozer, God. You're making the pathway straight. Oh, God, we thank you for illuminating our path. We thank you, oh God, for being a light into our pathway. We thank you, oh God, for being a lamp unto our feet so that we do not stumble or stray. We thank you, God, for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you will do. Now, God, we pray for all those who are bereaved right now. We lift up the family of George Shoulders, the family of Dorothea Robinson, and the family of Theron C. We ask that you would comfort them during this time of grief and bereavement and allow them to be strong as they face the days, the weeks, the months, and even the years ahead. We thank you, O God, that you're healing the sick and strengthening the sick today. And now, O God, whatever we stand in need of, those who are listening to the sound of my voice, we ask that you would continue to bless them, and keep us all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and thank God.
Amen. All right. Thank each of you for being on tonight, and we praise God for you. Don't forget now, we'll be in the book of Numbers. You can go ahead and start on that second chapter if you have time before next Monday, and we'll see you then.
See you next week. Bye-bye. I love you guys.
Be blessed.